Shutter Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. That's when I start singing like Mick. I think that's when the music would come in, right? I saw you cut off the beginning, James. Well done, because you kind of get right to it. But, you know, I think...
Try and do my best.
So this is without the words, right? This is one of those instrumental versions. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. You probably should.
Because I think by this point, he'd be in here. Yeah, no Mick. That's all right. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest. Shiel Kapadia does to put it mildly, a sensational job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. You can follow his work year-round at Shiel Kapadia, of course, on Twitter. And we got a lot of Eagles issues to talk to Shiel about. How you doing, Shiel?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Always is. Shiel, we're gonna go back to the last game in just a moment. But I just want to start with this question, which has sort of been our central thing here so far today. If the Eagles determine that Jalen Hurts can play on Sunday, but they think he'll be an ineffective runner because of his ankle. Again, it's a hypothetical, but if they determine he can be a pocket passer, but he will not be effective as a runner, which quarterback would you start?
Well, I think if he thinks he can play, I would just stick with Hurts. I mean, it's all part of the evaluation this year. I know you're trying to win games. I mean, I haven't seen anything from Gardner Minshew this season. I don't know how he's picking up the offense, how he's looked in practice, timing with the receivers. I mean, that would be a lot to ask. And so I hear what you're saying. Yep. I mean, you would really have to scheme it up and play a certain type of ugly way. You are facing maybe the worst team in the NFL. So my thing is, if Hurts feels like he can play, have him play and go forward with
it. All right, let's go back to the last game. So obviously he played his worst game of the season. You've had a chance to review the film. What stood out to you about why he was so bad in the passing game?
Well, I think there's a lot to get to here with Hurts. So let's start with the three interceptions. I mean, that's what everyone will look at. And so I think we have to break those down individually. The first interception, in my opinion, is not on Jalen Hurts. I thought he had the right read with where to go with the football to Quez Watkins. The middle of the field got vacated. The safety went with Devontae Smith. And so, well, what happened there? Well, Quez Watkins, when he's making that break on his deep dig, he doesn't fight through contact. And you can say, well, it should have been defensive holding, and certainly could have been called there. But he gets slowed down, doesn't fight through contact. The cornerback makes the play. That's an interception. That, to me, is not on Jalen Hurts. Sorry, play number two. They're down near the goal line. This is the big one. They're looking to get the ball to Devontae Smith on a corner route. He gets jammed up a little bit at the line of scrimmage. Jalen Hurts, at that point, he needs to just throw the ball away. They throw the ball away, mm-hmm. kick the field goal. That's a bad decision by Jalen Hurts. He makes the throw. It's an interception. So that one I put on his decision-making. And then his third one in the third quarter, that's a pre-snap check. They're saying, we're getting a single high safety. Let's take a shot to Jalen Reagor down the right sideline. He's got one-on-one coverage. Perfectly fine decision. Jalen Reagor actually sacks the cornerback on that play. What stood out to me over the last few weeks, especially with Jalen Hurts, is that his arm strength, we don't talk about it a lot, but he does not have a plus arm. I would say he has a below average arm. And so when he's making a deep throw like that to Jalen Reagor down the right sideline, that ball has to come out early, because when it doesn't, and it didn't come out early, in this case, it hangs up in the air. There's a safety in the middle of the field. He should not be able to get to that football. I mean, the only way he gets to that football for the interception is if the ball hangs up in the air and is underthrown. So that, to me, decision was fine. Throw was bad. So that's kind of how I look at his biggest mistakes from Sunday.
Why did Nick Sirianni decide he'd be better off trying to beat the Giants through the air?
Yeah, what do you make of that, Shiel? What a disaster.
I think that's overblown a little bit, to be honest. I mean, I think there was one situation. I shouldn't say overblown, because I think it's fair in one specific instance. That third and two and fourth and two they had, I mean, that was mind-boggling, terrible. What are you doing? Someone get in this guy's ear. Where they're throwing to Kenny Gainwell on one play, and then they're throwing a slant to Jalen Reagor on the next play when the Giants cannot stop you at all. But that was the one scenario I look at and say, all right, they absolutely should have run the football there. I mean, they ran for over 200 yards. They ran the football quite a bit in this game. If you look at the final numbers, I think those are skewed probably by the last eight plays of the game or so are pass plays. And so, absolutely, I agree. They need to run the football. You can say it every week. Hey, they should have run the football more. But I really look at that one instance that really stood out to me. I don't think they totally deviated from the game plan we've seen in previous weeks.
How concerned are you that the Giants scheme will be replicable by our future opponents and that people will be able to take away our best receiving targets?
I don't think that was the case really here. I mean, Devontae Smith, I could point to 5, 6, 7 plays in this game where he absolutely could have gotten the football, whether it was Jalen Hurts not going to him with the ball, whether it was some pressure. I mean, there were multiple instances. Like, I don't think they really all they did to Devontae Smith was they put their best corner on him in James Bradbury. Well, you know, that's going to happen every week. So I don't think they came up with any unbelievable wrinkle. You know, I think what they played at the end there was two-man coverage, which is just man coverage across the board with two deep safeties. And so essentially you are able to double-team some of the opponent's best receivers. But, you know, when you're playing that coverage throughout the course of a game, the quarterback can really scramble because the rest of the defense, they've got their back to the line of scrimmage. So, no, I don't think
and
the
Giants run it.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, you can run it. Two deep safeties. You can run the football all day long. So, no, I don't think that they did anything that was that creative or that great to stop the Eagles.
Sheil Kapadia with a Sheil. In this season of evaluation, the player I've had the trickiest time figuring out what he is Quez Watkins. As you project next year, is he a legitimate starter, a guy that starts just because they might just back their way into it, or someone who should not be a starter?
No, I would say you want to bring somebody else in to try to upgrade there. Now, if you bring somebody else in and Quez Watkins all of a sudden is looking phenomenal and wins the job outright, then yes, that's a fine outcome. I mean, I do think he has upside. You see the flashes. You saw the flash near the sideline with the play that he made. I do think he's able to get open. But, no, I think it would be a big mistake to just go into next year and say, hey, Quez Watkins is our number two wide receiver unless he makes some type of massive leap.
Because I'll tell you, Sheil, I think he has been one of the biggest disappointments this year. And it's been tricky to figure out, does he not get numbers because they barely ever throw it to him? Or does he not get numbers because he's just not that good? He was supposed to be one of their better players. I mean, based on what everyone was saying in training camp, this is one of their guys.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good warning sign for training camp, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he was, what, a sixth or seventh round pick. Not that those guys can't pan out, but, you know, when you say one of the most disappointing players, I would disagree with that. I mean, I don't know what expectations really should have been for Quez Watkins, and I think he's flashed at times. They don't throw the football a lot. They don't have a great passing offense. There are examples of on film of him getting open where he could be able to make more plays. So I'm not telling you he's Jerry Rice or has been phenomenal, but you know, I think there are instances where you could say, all right, he's done his job, but he's not getting the ball here.
I was troubled by some of Jalen Reagor's routes, not just the drops that we all saw, but just the effort level. Nick Sirianni tells us that he gives the Eagles the best chance to win. What about his game was good?
Yeah, you know, I think in this game there were actually instances of him getting open, which, all right, it sounds like a low bar to clear for a starting NFL wide receiver. So I think that's probably what Nick Sirianni is pointing to. But I'm with you, John. When you look at just, like, the little things that a wide receiver is supposed to do, you know, the things that, like, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, when he's in the game, is doing, Jalen Reagor doesn't do those, whether it's blocking on screen, whether it's blocking in the run game. I mean, there was a Boston Scott run in the red zone that scores if Jalen Reagor is giving maximum effort and blocking the cornerback on that play. I mean, the cornerback is not supposed to be a part of that play. He comes in and makes a stop on Boston Scott inside the 5-yard line because Jalen Reagor didn't do his job. And you're right. There are many examples of that on film. And so I don't know how they're handling that, how they feel like they need to manage sort of Jalen Reagor right now to make sure his confidence just doesn't hit an all-time low after that game. I mean, I would imagine that's kind of a big part of it, but I think your observations are certainly correct.
So let's switch over to the defensive side of things. Javon Hargrave just started the season like gangbusters, and now it's been so quiet. Is that because his play has dropped off or teams are accounting for him more?
Yeah, I think they're you know, it's been a little bit of everything. I mean, I think in this game, the Giants looked at it and said, we are not going to let that Eagles defensive line dominate. I mean, they knew that they had a huge mismatch there going into the game. And so I don't think they completed a single pass 20 yards or more downfield in that game. The goal was to kind of get the football out of Daniel Jones's hand. And so I actually thought Hargrave's film was pretty good in this game. I thought that he was disruptive. at times, whether it was as a pass rusher or in the run game. He hasn't been as productive as he was earlier in the season. I think even Jonathan Gannon said that defenses are accounting a little bit more for him. But, I mean, I don't know. The defense gave up 13 points, 17 first downs, and, what, 250 yards. I mean, I think that they did their job when the opportunities were presented to them.
How well is Josh Sweat playing?
He was, you know, relatively quiet in this game. Again, though, I think what I just mentioned, I think that applies to Josh Sweat as well. I do think he continues to play with a lot of effort and energy. I mean, there was, I don't know if it was a screen or something, I forget, on the left side of the field. It might have even been that flea flicker where he comes from left defensive end and hustles and chases down Evan Engram to make the tackle 20 yards downfield. So I think the effort is there. I think when you face teams that are willing to kind of push the ball downfield a little bit more, those are the times when he might get a little bit more production.
Okay.
Sheil, let's wrap it with this. And this is where I started on Monday, and I'm curious if you agree with me on this statement, that the Eagles' loss to the Giants in the end will probably cost them a playoff spot. Gut feeling, yes or no?
Gut feeling, yes. I mean, I'm going to say no at this time. I mean, I think they still have an opportunity. I think there's a chance that that's the case. I mean, they're going to be favored in a lot of these games down the stretch. You know, maybe we got a little bit carried away with how they were playing. You know, they're mostly probably going to be a mediocre type team that's going to have games like this where they can lose any given Sunday. And when they win, it's got to be by a very specific formula. And so I think that's a little bit of what you saw last week. When you make that many mistakes with the way they play, you're not going to win those games.
All right, Sheil, again, everyone follow Sheil's work at Sheil Kapati on Twitter. Awesome stuff. Sheil, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
You got
thanks,
it, man. And Sheil, just to be clear, my point there, why I think it'll cost them a playoff spot, like, there's two different ways it might not cost them a playoff spot. One is if they make the playoffs, then it didn't cost them a playoff spot. The other is if they miss the playoffs by, let's call it, two games. Then, yeah, you can say, well, losing to the Giants didn't cost them a playoff spot. They missed it by two games. My point is, just the way you size up the rest of the season, pretty easy schedule, but a lot of teams in a mucked-up group there of like five or six teams fighting for two playoff spots, I think that they will miss the playoffs by a game, and had they won it, they would have made the playoffs. That's just the way it looks to me. I hope I'm wrong. We'll see. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Ken and Paoli. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Ken.
You want to talk about petting the piranha, this question. Holy mackerel. So, look, Jalen Hurts is your starter. So he starts. So
yeah.
If the only reason he doesn't start is this is coach's job. Coach decides and determines in watching through practice and so on and so forth that if your starter has a high probability of a serious injury, he's really going to hurt himself. Outside of that, starter earned the right to start. That's it. So,
what if he's a lesser? Now, but Ken, what if he's a lesser player?
Well, hold on a second. Like, yeah, so we're talking about here. Someone, I don't know if it was John or Joe, which one said this? That Minshew throws a better ball. He's a better passer, and Jalen Hurts is a better rusher.
Well, hang on a second. Listen.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's a problem in itself, right? So because Jalen's not going to run forever, number one, right? And if you put this guy out there and you're saying like, you know, he's not as mobile against the Jets and he's got to throw, all it's going to do is going to show his inability to throw the ball, which he's already shown that through the course of this season. And you know, Philly's just going to crucify
well,
him.
Well, so just let me understand what you're saying. Are you saying to play Hurts to prove that he can't do it? Or are you saying
no, well, look, when we're all talking about evaluating, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
You got a big problem here in the first place, right? You got it looks like the two players. I don't know much about Minshew. I know John, you do. I don't. So, but I'll take your word for it about what he can do and what he can't do.
Yep.
We've seen what Hurts can do and what he can't do. What he can't do is throw. So, and, you know, if that continues, then, you know, we got a bigger problem in who's going to be the quarterback.
Well,
for sure.
It's a huge problem.
It.
Yep. Ken, something you don't get. Give me a great answer.
You know what I don't get? Why do they call it apartments when they're so close together?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. One of those sort of answers. And apart. Well,
they are apart.
They're just apart by a wall.
Yeah.
But why call it apartment? All right. Let me give you something I can tell you I didn't get, and it goes to show you what a bad business person I would be, because it's only like multiple billion. I did not get Starbucks when it started. I was like, what do you mean? People are going to go out of their way to go get coffee?
Because you don't drink coffee.
No, I know. I just, but as a human, I didn't think there were enough people that would make a point to go to a coffee place to get coffee. I just thought it was a foolish, too micro thing. I mean,
look, I was with you, man.
Right?
I can remember talking to someone's mom. I don't know why she was asking me. I think I was like going off to college, and she was saying, "Hey, I'm thinking of investing in this thing. It's Starbucks or something. They do coffee." Yeah. And I thought it was a terrible idea. Like, no way.
Yeah, just
don't ever put money into that.
That seems too micro, but you know,
whoops.
Sometimes we're wrong in life.
Let's go. Didn't cost her too much money.
I know.
Let's go to Troy in Northeast Philly. Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Troy.
Hey, Troy.
How you been, man?
Oh man, I can't complain. How you guys been?
Good.
So, I just got a question to ask you, Joe. Now, if this was a playoff game, would you still feel the same way? First to be out.
I would. I mean, if it's the same premise, which is that the medical staff thinks he can be a pocket quarterback but will be an ineffective rusher, and again, it's a leap, it's a hypothetical, but one that is possible for this Sunday, yes, I would feel the same way, because I think rushing is too important a part of his game, and I think it would be a problem, so yeah, I would not play him.
I just don't see the point. I mean,
the point is to win. The point is to give yourself the best chance to win the game. That's the point.
That's true. But the thing is, like a lot of people are saying, it's the Jets. And I know any given Sunday, any other team can beat you. But
well, that's also – I know. And listen, there is – I think the fact that it's the Jets actually cuts both ways in this discussion. Mm-hmm. Some people can say, well, just play Hurts. Even if he's not quite effective as a pocket passer, he'll probably be good enough for them to beat the Jets. And by the way, that's probably true.
Exactly.
But then there's the side that says,
well, just like we were probably.
But the other side is
far enough ahead of the Giants that we could mix in the pass and still beat them.
I understand. Yeah. The other side, of course, Troy, is some people would say, well, because it's the Jets, you can probably, quote unquote, get away with playing Gardner Minshew. And then it gives Jalen Hurts 21 days in between games because you got the bye week. And that's, you know, that's appealing also, I think.
But like John said, the downside to that, you get away with playing Gardner Minshew, and it can open up a Pandora's box that we don't want to go into.
Oh, yeah.
Are you real worried about it?
Am I worried about it? Yeah, I'm worried about that could happen. Especially after the mess you went through last year. I mean, you went through a messy divorce last year, and now you got a new girlfriend. You don't want to go through a mess with her. You know what I mean?
All right, yes. Troy, give me something that you just don't get.
I don't get what purpose mosquitoes serve other than spread diseases and irritate the mess out of you.
I'm saying, what purpose? What, sirs?
Mosquitoes.
Oh, mosquitoes. Well, they're just a creature. I mean, it's a creature guy.
They're not just a creature. They're like one of the most dangerous creatures out there.
I think they are the most, right?
Yeah.
I
think that was a fact.
Is that malaria? Malaria by
mosquitoes? Yeah. Cause more deaths than any other animal.
Wow. But I mean, you get them, right? They exist. That's a bad answer.
I think what he's saying is like bees have a purpose. Like other animals have a purpose that help the earth, you know, in one way or another. Like mosquitoes are just here to cause havoc.
Kill stuff.
Listen, God, sometimes it goes awry with his planning.
Works in mysterious ways.
I mean, we got earthquakes. I don't like them either, but we have them.
Have you ever been in one?
Yes. I didn't.
Really?
I didn't feel it.
I've never
actually
been
two of them.
Yeah,
now,
the
one in
around
Philly.
Here I've been in, but like I've never felt an earthquake. I've never been an earthquake where I'm like, oh my god, it is an earthquake. I'm assuming you have, Richie, on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it's got to be wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, man. Really scary.
I can imagine. Like
you realize
how
you just have no control. Like,
oh, of course,
the Earth. If the Earth is going to move and however it wants to, like you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy
feeling. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
completely out of your control.
Wow. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, there is a massive issue in sports we haven't discussed yet, and it could have implications for a long time. We'll get to that next. We'll detail that. We'll rock all your calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning on 94 WIP. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Hey, Twitter poll question. See, I never know when it's the instrumental version and when it's not. I mean, am I supposed to talk? Am I supposed to wait? Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. Today's question, which team frustrates you more? And they both are frustrating a lot of us right now quite a bit. A, the Flyers. B, the Sixers are two winner teams. Which team frustrates you more, the Flyers or Sixers? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Of course, you can react on the phone lines as well. AMA today at noon. So that's Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can get involved with the show to ask us a question. Any question you want to ask, ask it.
Ooh,
put it up on Facebook.
Any question in the world.
Yeah, any question.
Get it in.
Now, if James determines it's worthy of being asked, then there you go.
The gatekeeper, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to pick something that's like completely inappropriate,
no,
right, James?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
But AMA, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, three ways to get involved with the show. John, I got a question for you and James, and then right back to the phones, because this is something I've been thinking about, I guess, for about 6 months.
Ooh.
And we're right in the zone of, I guess, when I would have to activate it if I want to do it. I don't even know how you go about it. I'm just curious. So I graduated from college in 2000, Fairfield University. And you guys know me, and we've already established today and for 5 years, my life is, for the most part, a waste of time. I mean, I do the show, I go home, I come back, I do the show, I go home. There's just not a ton in between. There's just not.
At least not productive.
Yeah, I mean, I hang out with Amy from Villanova, I see my mom. But I mean,
you watch some TV.
I watch, I mean, you guys
puzzles,
get the deal. And you guys know I like to learn, but I like to learn what I've already learned, not new stuff.
Yeah.
So to
that is something that you could pay attention to and try to correct.
I could. I'm not particularly interested in trying yet, but maybe down the road when I, you know, try to gear up for running for president. But here's my point. One thing I loved learning when I learned at a couple different stages of life, certainly when I was in college, was, you know, basic world history class, Western Civ, as it's often referred to. You know, you learn about the Reformation, the Renaissance, all that stuff in Europe. I mean, it's good stuff. And I haven't absorbed it for 20 years. Am I allowed to just go to a college locally and take that class?
Yeah, of course you are.
So you can enroll for a specific class.
You can actually audit a class.
You can audit a class.
Yeah. You can do that.
Of course.
Okay, that's what I wanted to find out.
My grandfather, or my father-in-law, my wife's father, does it all the time.
Okay, so I'm thinking about that for the spring semester.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, it'd be fun. And if you audit, do you have you just sit there and watch the stuff, but you don't have to write the papers?
Right, yeah, you just watch the class, essentially. Yeah.
That's the best of every world. Oh, how about that?
Joe, the auditor.
The auditor.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm thinking about it. So
that could be your bag.
If anyone knows the good Western Civ
you
teacher,
also, you know,
hit me up on Twitter.
You could also take a class something you don't know about.
Nah, that's not
because you know history. You know, you could, I don't know, take a biology class or something.
Oh, that'd
actually
be a good idea.
Right?
I have no
zoology.
Zero interest in that. I do have an interest in going to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Enzo right now in Westchester, and then we're going to get to a huge issue in sports we haven't even addressed yet. Enzo, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, to the Buckingham Palace earlier in the show, the Nazis were trying to keep that palace intact for Hitler.
To take
no
it over?
No way.
To take it over?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hitler's intentions were to keep every existing structure that was like monumental, like Buckingham Palace, for himself.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Okay, very, very interesting.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm a
maybe you should
guy.
Audit a
I don't
class
know if,
or something.
I don't know if I don't know if you're right about that. We'd have to look that
one
up. And so let's be real. 75% of your sports points you're wrong about, but that's okay.
No, Joe. Okay, then look it up, Joe. Now you got me. I didn't call you guys Monday or Tuesday because I couldn't handle that loss, and I probably got kicked off the air.
Yep.
I miss you guys. 5 hours of puzzles, though, Joe. 5 friggin' hours, dude.
Love it. And all I was doing was the sky. It's a 2,000-piece puzzle. I didn't even get to like the structural stuff. Just the sky. Upside down, by the way. I was doing the puzzle upside down.
5 hours.
Yeah.
There's other things to do in life, dude. There's other things for you to do.
Makes
brother.
Me happy. Makes me very happy.
Hey, do you think that's like extra hard if you do it upside down?
No, it's the same. It's the same thing. I'm just giving it.
Do you also realize that there are things that could also make you happy? You don't even know how happy they could make you because you've never tried.
It's probably true. Yeah.
Right.
I just don't know what they are. Yeah. Enzo, what do you got on the Eagles here? Minshew or Hurts? If Hurts is banged up.
To your defense, though, Joe, the reading in the bathtub, I get your point why you don't. I fall asleep when I read, too. I won't read in the tub, but I will read in other spots.
Plus, it's great, Enzo, when the water caresses over your skin, it's beautiful.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Gross,
it's great.
Man.
It's great.
No. I didn't say that. I said I get your point about falling asleep. Stop being
no, I agree.
Air,
I agree with you. I'm up in the ante. All right, Minshew or Hurts? Who you playing?
It's Hurts, dude. Like, you're talking about – you earlier, you're being kind of a hypocrite. Like, when you said we have a below-average pocket passer.
Yep.
But – earlier in the year, you want to see Hurts develop. Let's give him this year. So, like, I don't. Which is it? Like, how can we let him develop, and now you want to throw him out because you think
well,
he's
not
good to go?
Throw,
if
it's not
to go, let him go.
Well, yeah, but again, the whole thing was predicated on if they determine that he's not going to be an effective runner, which hopefully doesn't happen. Hopefully they determine he'll be an effective runner, and this conversation's a moot point. But let's acknowledge there is the possibility he'll be hampered. And if he is, starting him or not is a reasonable thing to consider. Which way to go there?
No. It's all speculation. Let Jalen call the shot because he's our guy. He's the one who knows how he feels.
Just like Carson called the shot in 2018. Yeah, that was real smart, Enzo.
Yo, you're comparing, dude. That's like when you compare Fregosi earlier with a pitcher's arm. How can you compare a pitcher's arm?
Because it's decisions that have to be made. I mean, I know there are different degrees, but they're still decision points.
It's a totally different degree of a pitcher, a closing pitcher, versus a starting quarterback leader of your team.
All right, Enzo, something you don't
get.
Let
him be the leader.
What do you got, Enzo? What don't you get?
You know what I don't get, man, is why women – I don't get women, period, but women in general, when they ask you why they look – do they look fat? What is the point of that question?
The point of that question is for you to affirm that they do not look fat. That's the answer. But, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they ask that because they're looking for some reassurance. Provide the reassurance. You're all good.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go to Billy.
Omniscient.
Yeah, I mean, it's
ladies.
Pretty. Yeah, I mean, that's all that is. Billy T in Princeton. What's up, Billy T?
Gentlemen, you know, as always, great show. Thanks for taking the call. John, it's not often that I disagree with you, but I definitely disagree with you on this. If the kid's got an injury, we got a bye week coming up. Now, depending on, obviously, the severity of it, you don't fool around with an ankle if you're a running quarterback. I mean, that makes no sense.
You know that he finished the game with it, and now he has a whole week to, you know, finagle with fixing it properly, taping it up properly, batting it properly. He'll be fine.
John, I know that. I know that, but depends on the severity of it.
Yes, correct.
Your assumption is that the severity isn't that bad.
The severity is he finished the game with it.
All right, and probably got worse. Okay, because they certainly
don't know that.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Don't know.
All right, but the point is we have a week coming up where we're off, and I would certainly, if I was the coach, and I think your premise that we would create a quarterback controversy, you're projecting something out there that I don't think exists. I mean, nobody expects.
Man. Really?
Yeah, John. Come on. But is there an ace controversy between Zach and Aaron?
No.
The guy who played better became the ace, right?
Yes. And these are two very different quarterbacks.
Well,
and,
very, and, very different.
And
pitching,
you're putting a quarterback in there against maybe the worst team in the NFL, where he has a great chance to look better than what we might expect.
The other thing about the pitching analogy doesn't hold up because regardless of who the ace is, they're both going to start the same amount of games. Quarterback, only one guy plays. So
I know,
that's where, you know.
Pitchers have fragile egos.
Well, sure they do. But, I mean, all it is who starts opening day, and after that they all play the same.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're going to start sitting guys because they get dinged, like, you're going to sit the whole team.
All right, Billy T, something you don't get. Give me a great answer.
Going out to a 5-star steakhouse and ordering a well-done porterhouse.
Mm. Well said, Billy.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it well done. Okay, I got you.
Because it's
Are you a well-doner?
I am a medium well. Medium
not
well.
Great. Not great.
Medium well.
So you think that's okay because you put the medium in front of the well?
it's what I like. Medium well is what I like, man. It's all good. All good. I'll tell you what I don't get at a steakhouse.
It's not surprising.
When people get fries at a steakhouse.
Do you put ketchup on your steak?
No. Don't even try to.
You get it medium well.
It's comparable.
A1. I'll do some A1 or some other sauces.
There you go.
I actually think... I actually think for the best steaks, it's better without A1.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But A1's really good.
Well, a good steak is better if you cook it right.
Yeah.
Not medium well.
No. To each his own, John Ritchie.
Yeah.
Not in this, I think.
All right, so let me tell you about a big issue in sports. And it hasn't generated too much discussion, certainly not locally and even nationally in recent days. But it has the chance to be the dominant issue for American sports after the Super Bowl. And that is a labor stoppage in Major League Baseball. If you don't know, and I think most people probably do know, but maybe you haven't absorbed too much of the information because it's kind of been beneath the surface. As we make the turn from tonight to tomorrow, baseball is going to have a lockout. Not a strike, which is when the players say, you know, we're out. It's a lockout when the owners say, okay, we're locking you out. We're shutting down the operation. in an attempt to force the players' hands to, you know, bargain differently on issues. So let me just make this first comment. Baseball is a – not baseball. Major League Baseball. Because baseball is great. Baseball is a game. Major League Baseball is – I mean, how do I even say this? There is such an unlikable component to Major League Baseball that they do this to us with such frequency. Now, to be fair, no games have been missed, and we're very far away from games being missed. But it won't shock me, based on what we've heard, if games do ultimately end up being missed. Not to mention the fact that the hot stove time of signing free agents, which had just started, and some teams got very active in, completely gets shut down. Baseball goes off the map, except for negative stories, haggling. And I understand this is part of, free market economy and all that, but how aggravating, John, that they just, and James, they just can never seem to reach a conclusion without getting to the point, I mean, they have, but not often enough, of this kind of nonsense where they're going to allow, it might be a month, it might be 3 months, it might be 5 months, and it's going to be longer than a week. This is not going to be quick, of negative story after negative story after negative story, as billionaires and millionaires in a non-cap world, no salary cap, just fight and haggle and fight and haggle and fight and haggle. And by the way, if you look at the issues, and there's a whole bunch of them, the landscape is a mess. This isn't like, hey, let's solve two issues and we're there. This is like they got 10-plus issues that are massive. They're not going to be there till way past New Year's, in my opinion, just as I absorb the situation. And because baseball has done this to us so many times, and most famously, of course, with the strike, not lockout, in 94, it's just incredibly aggravating. John, James, your thoughts.
Well, part of this is because from a football player's perspective, the baseball union has done an incredible job fighting for those players and getting them a great share of the pie.
That's true.
And the owners are basically going on a preemptive strike, before the players have more leverage closer to the start of the season.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're going to say, hey, we're going to put a stop to everything. We're not going to let anyone do anything.
Well, it's when the CBA ends. Like, they didn't have a choice of when the lockout
happened.
Because
no deal's
been
reached.
There's no deal been reached. Yeah. So it was going to be December 1st, no matter what is the point.
They talked about rolling it over to have a one-year extension, but they are not going to do that. I mean, they could in the next 12 hours, but they won't.
No.
And so here we go again. Let's do the dance again. James, we're doing the baseball owners and players dance yet again.
Yeah, 50 years of it. I mean, there's no two sides that hate each other more and have consistently hated each other more.
And
it hurts
the sports because it chips away little by little by little by bigger than little. It chips away the likability of Major League Baseball. It just becomes less likable. And I love this sport. I mean, we grew up with this. But it's just really aggravating that here we go again. James, you know more about this stuff certainly than most people do. How long do you think this one goes on for? We're talking spring, right?
Yeah, I think the season happens. I mean, I do. I think they figure it out before the season. So I think, January, February, something like that. It'll take a little while, but I do think they'll figure it out. I think the fact that
Of course, they'll eventually figure it out. So you think they'll figure it out before the season?
The owners just said, hey, all this system's all messed up, but here's hundreds of millions of dollars we're handing out before this deadline. Let's get these contracts signed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that sends a certain message. So I think they're going to get it done, but it's certainly going to be, very, very, it's going to be ugly.
It is.
Well,
it's going to be real ugly.
It doesn't, when Bryce Harper was asked after winning the MVP about this situation, he certainly didn't seem worried at all.
Well, I think it's because of
which
player.
I took as a, good sign.
I don't think he wants to use that moment to go down that road.
Oh, so you think it was just deflecting?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the reality is, I mean, chances are they'll figure it out by opening day. But here's the other thing. I hope in the process of figuring out, they actually make improvements to the game. Like, let me tell you guys, it never gets discussed, ever. But for me, it's one of the biggest mistakes Major League Baseball made a few years ago. I don't know what year it was. When they went from 25-player rosters to 26-player rosters, every team added a pitcher. And actually, then a lot of teams said, let's add another pitcher and take away a bench player. So that's part of why you have so many pitching changes and you have a lot of starts that only go 4 and 5 innings. The whole thing started with, let's add a 26-player. The sport was better when there were 25 players. No one talks about that. And they're not going to go back. They're not going to go back to 25 players. The union would never allow it. That would kick 30 players out of Major League Baseball. 30 teams, the extra guy on each team. But those are the kind of things when these discussions occur that actually matter for how we over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years will enjoy and absorb the sport of Major League Baseball. And they have made mistakes that have hurt the game. We'll detail, you know, in the coming months, all the layers of issues, because there are a lot. But that's the kind of thing to me that matters. That
I don't know, man. The thing that matters to me, the thing that matters to me about this whole thing is, why is it that there were some teams out there who decided prior to this stoppage they were going to get a lot of work crammed in,
getting in before the deadline,
and make their teams better?
What they did.
Why is it that we weren't one of those teams?
Well, that's a whole nother matter, John. I agree
with you. That's the biggest thing. Like, we sat on our hands.
I 100% correct.
And
100%. Yep.
What's the reasoning? Is it sound reasoning?
We
behind
don't know.
That?
Like, I mean, they could think that the CBA is going to work out a certain way, and that'll give them a certain advantage after, whether in contract size or it could be they're scared the luxury tax is going to go down, and they don't want to mistakenly go over it. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons for why they do it.
Phillies have had some cautious approaches in recent years.
That's my issue with it. Is it signals a cautious, like, you're not going after your guys. Like, you should go in free agency, be like, I want Nick Castellanos, and I'm going to go get him, like, or whatever. It is, and it doesn't feel like they've had that kind of aggressive plan.
All right, let's go to the phones. So if you want to react to all the baseball stuff, whether it's Phillies related, not signing anybody before all these before the lockout, or just the fact that here we go again, another lockout, it's a really disappointing aspect of sports, and I have no hope that it'll ever go away. It's just going to be what we have for the rest of our lives, and it's really irritating. It's just they're constantly going to battle. Let's go to David in Germantown. That, in addition to all the other topics we're discussing. Hey, David.
Hey, the camera.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Richie.
Hi, David.
Let me get this off my chest first.
Yes.
All right. What's my pet peeve, man? Because I drive a semi. Why is it that when I'm in the right lane and I try to do a merge to get over, not merging, but to pass somebody, why is my left turn signal your indicator to speed up after you've been laying parlaying in the back just watching me go straight? You know what I mean? Like, you put the blinker on. Oh, shoot. Let me step on the gas now. But anyway, that's my one.
So that's something you don't get. All right, you got it.
I don't get it. And I also don't get why your disdain for Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I don't have disdain for him at all. I love Jalen Hurts. I just don't think he's that good.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, you can love a guy and not think he's that good. I mean, right? That's possible.
So you'd rather have controversy and turmoil as to someone who's going to lay the soil and be the plant.
David,
for your
to soil the plant. Yeah. Look, man, to be really clear, I hope this whole conversation's a moot point, David. I hope that his ankle is fine. And then, of course, I would start him on Sunday. But we're just talking about what if he is hampered to the point that he's an ineffective runner. If that is the case, I don't believe he's the right person to start.
To start against the Jets or to start for the rest of the season?
No, to start against the Jets, and then I put Hurts right back in there for the next game when his ankle's ready. I mean, David, this is a must-win. They have to win it, and they probably will win it either way, but this is not a game to mess around with. If they lose, season is done. Done. D-O-N-E.
Don't you think Jalen Hurts gives you a better chance to win so you can keep doing what worked for the previous month?
I think a healthy Jalen Hurts does. I don't think an injured Jalen Hurts does.
You realize the offense is going to look completely different with a different quarterback
in
there.
A new game plan, a new scheme.
You're departing from what this team does best if you put the other guy in there. Like, I don't think that – I guess to boil it down, I don't think it gives us a better chance to win – with Gardner Minshew going in there and throwing us to victory.
And I think,
let's go in there and keep doing what Jalen does, and where I'm sure Jalen will fight to play and be able to play sufficiently to allow us to do what we do best, run the football and have him be a threat that holds that backside and creates, you know, that fear in a defense. Gardner Minshew, I like him. A lot.
Yeah, I know you like him a lot more than most people.
But
I know you do.
The offense will have to change a ton.
All right, let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, how are we, Jeff?
Doing all right, Dan.
Fantastic, Dan.
John, I'm not going to get into your personal business, but you made a pretty good amount of money in your football career, right?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you give some money back to that lady you told not to invest in Starbucks? I mean, that's terrible.
I know. Well, why is she asking a kid? I was 18. I don't know why she's asking me.
It's like asking a kid if you should invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, that's another one.
I just don't even understand it. That's something
Bitcoin.
I don't get.
That's your Bitcoin.
Yeah. All that stuff and that NFT stuff. I don't get any of that. Non-fungible
stuff.
Because
you don't try to, though. We've talked about it a bunch
of
times.
Yeah, I have tried.
Let it go.
It's an image. Yeah, no, it's an image that someone can own that no one else can own. I don't find that appealing. I mean,
well, there's a difference between not finding appealing and understanding it. You're saying I don't understand it.
I don't understand why it's valuable, is my point. I now understand what it is. I don't understand why it has any value. If someone had an image of, man on the moon for the first time ever, and that person owned that image, and it's a digital image, I understand how that's valuable. If someone like the general manager of the Sixers owns an NFT, an image digitally, of Ben Simmons on a basketball court, I don't understand how that's valuable. There's 37,000. There's 37,000 images of Ben Simmons on a basketball court.
But it's a unique image, is the point. Whether or not it's out there, you
Listen,
own the image.
It's not that unique. You know why? Because Michael Jordan doing the hangman thing, that's unique. During the 88 All-Star weekend. Nothing Ben Simmons has done on a basketball court.
It's like owning a stock.
I don't understand why it's valuable. That's what I don't get.
Did you just say nothing Ben Simmons done on the basketball court is unique?
Well, I meant physical movement. Like, he's not Michael Jordan flying through the air.
Yeah, like he didn't dunk the ball when he should have.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique, but it's unique. I mean, let's put it this way. I don't want to own the image of him passing the ball to Thibault with, 4'2" Trae Young right
now.
That
actually might be worth something, though.
Hey, listen. What? I think Jalen Hurts playing. All right, he has a bum ankle. Maybe he's not as mobile. But wouldn't that give you more of a glimpse inside of what kind of passer he can be,
be? Absolutely would. Yep.
I mean, if it's not physically hurting him where it's going to be more injured, but it just maybe limits his ability to run, then you should be able to – because what happens in – let's say he becomes their quarterback, and in 5 years he starts slowing down. Do you trade him because you don't know if he's a good passer?
See, but Dan, my point is, I think you do know actually what he is as a passer at this stage. I think you actually know. I don't think I need to see much more this year. And I want him to play. Don't get me wrong. I want Hurts, a healthy Hurts, to play. But I think I know what he is at this stage of development. I don't know what he'll become in his development. That the jury is still out on. But
do you shower before you take a bath?
No, I don't think I've ever done that. Sometimes I shower after. Why is it disgusting?
Do you have any mental concept of how disgusting that is?
No. I'm just lying in a bathtub. It's all good.
Dan, you're sitting in a puddle of water that everything throughout your body throughout the day is now floating.
Listen, if you're going to say it's filth, at least it's my filth. I don't care. Dan, give me something you don't get.
I don't get how you think you're going to be able to run for president and have a shot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, well.
It's an outstanding answer.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know it's a long shot, and
no,
I know there's...
No. It's like 0.00001%.
I don't agree with
that. And less than that.
I don't
less
agree
than
with
that. Yeah.
Guys, if you...
But you're wrong.
If you
man.
Consider some of the things that have happened in human history about achievement and shooting for the stars, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, Abe Lincoln was so not on the national radar when he ran and became president.
Dude, you're a sports radio host.
And what year?
Without any knowledge of 95%
Ronald Reagan,
of to
Ronald Reagan
to
was
be
in,
president.
Ronald Reagan was in the movies. Then he worked for GE for like 10 years. I mean, let me ask you this. Honest answer. Do you think anyone in 1750 thought George Washington was going to be the president of the United States of America?
What does that have to do?
George Washington.
Yeah.
Joe. What,
I mean,
did anyone think he was going to be the president of the U.S.?
You have no national profile. Yeah. You have no, you're not famous, like, in a national sense. Like, what is your plan?
I'll tell you exactly my plan.
And how many hundreds of millions of dollars does it cost to do what you're saying you can do?
I'll answer. So first off, quickly to Washington. Of course, there was no United States of America. That's why the dream is the dream. You never know what's around the corner. So you defeat the British, you become the hero of it, you don't run for president, you get elected president, there you go.
I'm going to win an Oscar someday for best actor,
guys,
just so you know.
I'm
it's going to happen. I don't know how, I'll figure it out.
I'm going to tell you real simple, the plan. It's very simple. I'm 43 years old. Somewhere in my late, and I'm going to, hopefully be on WIP for a number of years. Somewhere in my late 50s, I will run for Congress, U.S. House of Reps. Not that thing John did going for state Congress, state Senate, none of that small-time stuff. I'm going to Congress. Hopefully I win. If I win, I'm in Washington. Once
do you
I'm in
know
Washington,
what goes into
how
doing
much?
That?
How are you going to get the money to run for Congress?
I'm going to tap into John's NFL
oh,
money.
Oh, good. He is not close to enough to even in the realm of enough to
Come
run
on,
for
man.
Congress. So, you know how much it costs to run for Congress? Do you have any idea? Concept?
Find out. Find out. Hopefully, the WIP platform will help launch me, and then once I'm in Washington, you start maneuvering. A little cabinet action, maybe come back to PA as a governor, and then bang, for the big seat. 2044, 2048 election, something like that. Joda Cameron, John Ritchie, AMA. That's the plan. You asked for the plan, that's the plan.
Well, I just can't believe you believe that it's a real thing.
Yeah. I do think it's a possibility. I know it's a long shot. I know it's a huge long shot. I don't think it's impossible. Hey, Kevin Garnett said it, man.
It is practically impossible.
Again, you don't do anything. You take baths every day. Like, you know what? How much you'd have to do to be congressman and then president and all this? Like, really?
I will have a sharpened mind for when that opportunity comes. Joda Cameron, John Ritchie. AMA is next. Phone calls throughout the show as well on 94 WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It just makes watching the games that much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing yards, rushing yards, who scores touchdowns. In hoops, bet points, rebounds, and assists. In hockey, bet on goal scores and total individual points. Plus, with live in-game betting and the always popular same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only one I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, or just bet on any game. Download the app and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use my promo code JRWIP. Then check out Pro Football tomorrow night. Dallas is now a 4.5-point favorite at New Orleans. The over-under is 47.5 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in PA, the Park Sportsbook app.